Welcome to the Deep Dive. Today, we're venturing into the wonderfully weird world of online forums.
Yeah, specifically Moopy Forum.
Exactly. We've unearthed this. Well, this truly unique discussion thread. It kind of exploded, figuratively speaking, around this sensational and, let's be clear, entirely made-up headline.
Which was?
Legs & Co.'s dead in chamois thong factory explosion.
Right. So forget your serious news analysis for today. This is more about, you know, observing the internet in its most uninhibited and imaginative state.
Yeah, our mission really is to go beyond that initial shock value headline and explore the narrative threads that popped up, try to understand the humor, the sheer absurdity.
And maybe even some surprising cultural touchstones that this fictional disaster sparked, you know?
Definitely. And this wasn't just a flash in the pan, was it? This thread ran from March 22nd right through to April 25th, 2025.
Wow, that's a solid month.
A whole month of this fictional tragedy just evolving and like mutating in the collective online consciousness. Okay, so let's get into how it all started.
It kicked off simply enough, didn't it? A user, La Penelope Montlesson, just posted that headline.
Just the headline. But the immediate reactions, they really set the stage for everything that came after.
What's fascinating straight away is that mix, you know, that blend of, like, initial disbelief, but also a very personal, almost strange connection.
How so?
Well, this user surely immediately questions the rumors, right? But then throws in this detail about owning a chamois thong herself in the past.
Right. It's that weird grounding in, like, personal experience, even with something so totally outlandish. It's quite telling about online chat, isn't it?
It really is. And then almost instantly, the dark humor kicks in.
Oh, yeah. It's GNL and Maltese.
Yeah. Jumps in with that pretty grim joke. They say the legs were the last to go.
Oof. Yeah. It's morbid. It's got this specific online edge.
And it kind of signals, you know, this isn't going to be some respectful period of mourning for an event that never happened.
Not at all.
That quick dive into irreverence, it's a key way these online communities process the absurd, I think.
By leaning into the most extreme stuff.
Yeah, and the slightly disturbing aspects. They create this kind of shared comedic language. Then you get, I've got a secret you should know. Adding another layer of just surreal detail.
What was that?
Merkins looted from the scene.
Merkins. Okay. It's just this bizarre escalation that takes the story way beyond a simple factory accident.
Absolutely. And from there, the thread just veers wildly into, like, celebrity involvement, blurring the lines between what's real and what's complete fantasy.
Okay, like who?
Well, we see Celine Dion, of all people.
No way.
Apparently witnessed eating lipstick nearby.
Eating lipstick. That's such a vivid and just random image. Why Celine Dion, do you think? What makes her such a target for that kind of cameo?
That's a good question. Maybe it's her, you know, her well-known dramatic persona, the almost theatrical way she presents herself.
Could be.
So placing her in this utterly mundane yet totally surreal situation, eating lipstick near an exploded thong factory, it creates this wonderfully jarring contrast that just fuels the humor.
Yeah, taking a recognizable public figure and just dropping them into absolute nonsense.
Right. And then you've got Janet Jackson proactively canceling her song explosion.
As if it's a scheduled event.
Exactly. Which sort of suggests this is some kind of known hazard in the celebrity world. It's a clever little jab at, you know, the constant news cycles and celebrity drama.
It really is. And then things take an even more mythical turn.
How so?
With the report that nor Steedy Nicks to Bronze Babies in Exploded Factory.
Bronze Babies, okay.
Yeah. This elevates the whole event to something almost folkloric. What's the effect of bringing in someone like Stevie Nicks with her kind of mystical image?
Well, by introducing a figure like Stevie Nicks, the narrative shifts, doesn't it? It goes beyond a simple accident into something more surreal, symbolic even.
Mm.
Her mystical associations bring the sense of the otherworldly to this ridiculous event. It's almost like it's become a strange kind of legend within the forum.
And the Bronze Babies just add another layer of bizarre, unexpected imagery.
Totally. Then we get a real world figure thrust into the madness. Mark Carney.
Oh, the former governor of the Bank of England.
Yep. Supposedly spotted wearing ShamLaw in cabinet meeting to support thong stock prices.
Okay, now that's where the satire really kicks in, isn't it?
Definitely. Bringing in a political figure in such a ludicrous scenario, it feels like a direct jab at the, well, the often perceived absurdity of political and economic responses.
What specific anxieties or maybe trends do you think this kind of joke is tapping into?
Hmm. It seems to be playing on maybe the public's potential cynicism about the motivations behind political and economic decisions. The idea of a powerful figure like a central banker focusing on something as trivial as thong stock prices, it just highlights a disconnect, doesn't it, between the serious issues they supposedly handle and the often farcical nature of real-world events sometimes.
Yeah, definitely. And then King Charles III enters this chaotic world.
Oh, dear. How?
Initially, he's reported as ripping thong from Venus de Milo's statue.
Wow, okay. That's already quite a headline in itself.
But then it escalates.
Yeah.
Quickly, to him being sentenced to death for Venus de Milo thong snatching.
Sentenced to death. That is a rapid progression.
It's a perfect example of how these online narratives just snowball.
Yeah.
You know?
The initial act is bizarre enough, but the swift and extreme consequences a death sentence for thong-related vandalism just take the absurdity to a whole new level. It's almost like watching a very strange, very compressed legal drama unfold.
Totally. Then we have Wendy Moten.
Okay.
Offering a free thong with every fisting sling sold.
Right. That's a connection I don't think anyone saw coming.
It feels deliberately jarring, doesn't it? Just throwing together completely unrelated concepts purely for shock value.
That kind of unexpected and, yeah, often crude juxtaposition is a hallmark of this type of online humor. It's about creating connections that are so out of left field they become funny, or at least get a reaction.
Mm-hmm. And then Donatella Versace, supposedly planning to launch a, get this, thong made from the excess skin of previous facelifts.
Oh, wow. That's a particularly dark and satirical comment, isn't it? On the fashion industry, our obsession with appearance.
It is both grotesque and, yeah, darkly funny. It really plays on Versace's very specific public image.
And the jokes just keep rolling in. Sisqo is reportedly dead from grief following news of exploded factory.
Dead from grief over a fictional thong factory.
Yeah. The idea of such an intense emotional investment in a fictional event that it actually causes a celebrity's demise. It's just brilliant satire of parasocial relationships, isn't it?
It really is. It exaggerates those sometimes overly emotional responses we see online to celebrity news.
And then we have the equally fictional death of Noelle Gordon.
Crossroads legend. How'd she go?
Choking to death on edible thong.
Edible. The ironic twist just adds another layer of dark humor.
Exactly. And the bizarre narratives continue with Donna Winter.
Okay.
Being sour and unconversational following news, Owen Jones rejected evening of non-penetrative sex in chamois thong.
Right. This brings in another real personality, Owen Jones, in a very specific and awkward scenario. It plays on public knowledge of both individuals. It's the specificity that makes it so weird, isn't it?
Absolutely. The humor comes from placing these recognizable figures in such a mundane yet bizarrely intimate situation. The detail about non-penetrative sex and the chamois thong just ramps up the awkwardness.
Definitely. And then Mary Berry.
Oh no, not Mary Berry.
That beloved figure of wholesome baking, apparently celebrating her 90th birthday with a crotchless thong and causing multiple casualties.
Multiple casualties. It's the subversion of your public image taken to an absolute extreme just for comedic effect.
It's so unexpected and outrageous. And then Lisa Scott Lee's Dubai thong scandal following a tumble down a sand dune.
Huh. It's like a classic celebrity mishap story, but amplified by the specific, slightly ridiculous detail of the thong.
It plays on those minor celebrity incidents that often make the headlines, yeah. But the chamois thong just elevates it to something far more absurd and memorable.
And who could forget Janet Street Porter apparently using a thong for flossing?
For flossing. It's so wonderfully unhygienic.
Mm.
And somehow, yeah, it feels perfectly in character for her.
Doesn't it? Then we get political again. Breaking. J.D. Vance chamois thong plot for Middle East leaked an exposed MSN Messenger chat.
MSN Messenger. That's a throwback.
Yeah. This brings in contemporary political figures and the slightly outdated world of online communication for a completely nonsensical conspiracy theory. What do you think is the humor in using something like MSN Messenger for this kind of leak?
Maybe the use of MSN adds that layer of nostalgia for an earlier internet era, contrasting with the high-stakes drama of a Middle East plot.
Yeah, I think so. It satirizes both the seriousness of political intrigue and the often amateurish ways information, real or fabricated, can spread online.
Good point.
Yeah.
And we can't overlook the discovery of Queen Victoria thong photos.
Oh my goodness.
Causing ripples amongst the historic thong community.
The historic thong community. The very idea of such a community and historical thong photos. It's inherently funny.
It really highlights the internet's ability to create these niche communities around even the most bizarre interests, doesn't it? The capitalization of historic thong community just makes it even funnier, like it's a serious academic field.
Totally. And then we have it's GNL in Maltese simply stating she wants her thong back.
Ah, which is a great callback to Shirley's earlier comment. It suggests that shared ongoing joke within the thread.
It's a nice little example of that internal consistency and the shared references that develop within online communities, even in the midst of utter chaos.
Yeah. And then Yaz, the 80s pop star.
The only way is up.
That's the one. She's arrested on suspicion of collaboration with the plastic population.
The plastic population. This is so random and bizarre. It's almost surreal. What do you even make of that kind of completely out of nowhere joke?
It just feels like a deliberate injection of the unexpected, you know?
Yeah.
Something that doesn't need to make logical sense to be funny. The plastic population sounds like something from a cheap sci-fi movie, making the whole scenario even more absurd.
Right. And contrasting with all the thong-related chaos, we suddenly get, just in, Perry busted in, full bottom panty, shocker.
Huh. The sheer outrage over normal underwear in this context is hilarious. It really highlights the thread's obsession with thongs, doesn't it?
Absolutely. It's a brilliant way to emphasize the, like, established norms of this fictional online world. The idea that wearing regular knickers would be considered a shocking scandal within this context is just a perfect comedic beat.
It really is. Then we get a report that Boney M,
Rar Rasputin.
Yep, they're apparently behind Ryzen thong sales in Outer Mongolia.
Outer Mongolia. It's such a specific and unlikely scenario, playing on Boney M's global reach and the unexpected places trends can pop up.
It's wonderfully random. Paints such a bizarre picture. And Sir Anthony Hopkins' bewildered question.
What did he ask?
Is this a thong or a torture device?
Huh. Perfectly encapsulates the potential discomfort of a chamois thong, doesn't it? Adds a touch of theatricality. It's a relatable moment of confusion amidst all the absurdity.
It brings a touch of grounded human reaction to the increasingly outlandish events. Then there's this brief foray into a non-thong related story, or so they thought.
Oh, what was it?
Something about Penelope Keith and JFK at a Bernard Matthews slaughterhouse.
Okay, random.
And there was immediate outrage, demanding its removal for being non-thong related filth.
Right. This really highlights the thread's self-imposed thematic constraints, even amidst the chaos. It's funny how quickly they police themselves to stay on thongic.
It is. And then, of course, someone immediately claims the slaughterhouse is thong-related.
Of course they did. That quick justification really shows how committed they are to the bit.
Then we have Cara Delevingne's fictional demise.
Oh.
From Musty Minja Kennel Cut 19.
Okay, that's particularly crude. It relies purely on shock value. It definitely marks a darker, maybe more offensive turn in the humor there.
Yeah, it's a more visceral style that contrasts with some of the more whimsical jokes. And then B. Arthur
from Beyond the Grave.
Apparently. Exclaiming, I really cut my teeth on off-Broadway thongs.
Off-Broadway thongs. It's surreal, anachronistic, plays on her theatrical background. The idea of a deceased celebrity commenting on this bizarre topic is just wonderfully strange.
It is. Really leans into the absurd. Then we have complaints about Bernard Matthews' Christmas turkeys. Again.
Oh, no. What?
Wearing electric pink thongs and apparently causing the arousal of some customers.
Okay, that's a truly bizarre scenario. Blending the mundane with the sexual in a very unexpected and frankly uncomfortable way, definitely pushing some boundaries there.
It is. A particularly strange and unsettling image that plays with ideas of the unexpected and the inappropriate. And then the BBC bans a new cheeky girl single.
Why?
Due to raunchy why chamois thong lyrics.
Raunchy chamois thong lyrics. It's a perfect satire of censorship and the kind of manufactured outrage that can surround pop music. The Cheeky Girls are a great choice for this, given their somewhat suggestive image back in the day.
They are. The idea of chamois thong lyrics being too raunchy is inherently funny. Yeah. Following this, though, we get a user expressing absolute filth, conversations about ladies' undergarments and back passages,
oh, dear.
And accusing the thread of pedophile enabling.
Wow. Okay, that's a jarring shift in tone. It really mimics the kind of exaggerated moral panic that can sometimes just erupt online, even in seemingly nonsensical discussions like this.
Yeah, it highlights how quickly online discussions, even ones based on complete absurdity, can attract accusations of impropriety and moral outrage.
Then we pivot right back to celebrity madness with NAR. Beyonce caught breastfeeding cats in thong.
Breastfeeding cats in a thong. It's such a bizarre and specific image. playing on Beyoncé's public persona and adding that surreal twist. The detail of the thong just makes it even more outlandish and memorable, doesn't it?
It really does. It's about taking a recognizable celebrity and placing them in the most unexpected, ridiculous situation imaginable.
This is followed by the thong-wearing Bernard Matthews Turkey's launch, The Dancing Turkey Review.
The Dancing Turkey Review. The continued anthropomorphization of the turkeys and their participation in a Vegas-style show is just pure comedic fantasy. It's a real commitment to the bit.
It is. It's the kind of relentless absurdity that becomes its own form of entertainment.
Yeah.
Then Yoko Ono.
What's she up to?
Records a new album with a used mustard packet and a thong made of cat hair.
A thong made of cat hair. It's a classic example of playing on Yoko Ono's avant-garde reputation, taking it to an extreme, and incorporating the thong theme in a typically unconventional way. It's a perfect parody of artistic pretension.
It really is. The cat hair thong is just something else. Then there's a mention of the potential return of the Celebdak Forum.
Ah, Celebdak.
Which suggests this kind of celebrity-focused absurdity might be a recurring theme within the Moopy community, you know. It hints at a history and a shared understanding for this type of discussion.
It does. It suggests that this isn't just an isolated incident, but maybe part of the forum's ongoing culture and sense of humor. And then we have an OT on-topic discussion about celebrity emoji sizes.
Emoji sizes? How is that on topic?
Well, they claim it is. It's a meta commentary on the online world itself and its obsession with even the tiniest details. It's a humorous acknowledgement of the tangents that can arise even within a seemingly focused thread.
Okay, that's quite meta. Then Sue Pollard again.
Oh no, not again.
Found dead with her mouse stuffed with thongs.
Well,
followed immediately by the reverse scenario. Thong found dead with the crotch stuffed with Sue Pollard's.
Okay, that's a particularly dark and absurd exchange. Playing on the earlier fictional celebrity deaths, it's morbid and bizarre, a continuation of the thread's running jokes.
It is. A descent into the truly bizarre, pushing the boundaries of good taste for comedic effect. And then Dale Winton.
Dale.
Is encased in chamois sarcophagus for public safety following fortnight-long chamois thong orgy calloused rectum revelations.
Wow. That's a truly spectacular and unsettling image. The sheer level of bizarre detail is quite something.
It is. It feels like a culmination of several of the thread's more.
Yeah.
Unusual themes. Then we have Nair, Shammy Bathong Cindy Crawford, caught in public snacking on new diet poo.
Diet poo. It's another instance of a glamorous celebrity engaged in something utterly unglamorous, with the obligatory thong, of course. The thong really has become like a recurring motif, a uniform for the absurdity in this bizarre universe.
It has. It really has. And then Agnetha Felskog from A.
Agnetha.
Is reported to be in a steamy all-night lutefisk and chamois thong session to raise awareness for charity.
Lutefisk and chamois thongs. For charity. The sheer randomness of that combination is what makes it so funny. It's the unexpected pairing of disparate elements for a supposedly noble cause.
It really is. And this leads to the Suite of Stars recording Thong Song.
A cover.
Yeah, for Thongs for Africa, apparently, with a B-side called Thong Hot Summer and a whole list of participating artists, including some already declared dead in the thread.
Oh, that's brilliant. The idea of a charity single with such a theme, involving a mix of real and, yeah, deceased artists. Mm-hmm. It's a perfect example of the thread's darkly comedic and self-referential nature.
It highlights the thread's willingness to blend real-world concepts like charity singles with its own internal logic and running jokes, doesn't it?
Totally. Then, Ailid Jones.
Walking in the air, Ailid Jones.
Makes a shocking drunk confession, revealing the Chamois Thong Gang as the real masterminds of 9/11.
Okay, whoa. That is a truly outrageous claim, even within this fictional context, is where the absurdity veers into potentially problematic territory, isn't it? Referencing a real-world tragedy, albeit in a completely nonsensical way.
It does. It's a stark example of how online humor can sometimes cross lines, yeah. Following this, Baroness Theresa May,
the former prime minister,
is kidnapped by thong-wearing terrorists, last seen only a thong in a former BHS.
A former BHS.
Yeah, and apparently 11 dead from consumption.
Consumption, like tuberculosis, the combination of political figures, terrorism, the thong, a defunct retail location. It's just bizarre. It throws together contemporary anxieties with the thread's established absurdity, with a strange historical disease thrown in for good measure.
It creates a truly surreal and unsettling image by combining all these disparate elements. Then we have a thong-wearing throngs sing songs and play ping pong while smoking bongs in Hong Kong.
That's quite a sentence. It's a vivid and chaotic image, embracing alliteration and the thread's central theme. It's a moment of pure, unadulterated silliness, isn't it?
Oh.
A celebration of the ridiculous premise.
It is. And the comment about the lack of exploding factories being sad is a nice self-referential touch.
Yeah. Then the stock market rebounding.
Oh, yeah. On what news?
On rumors of chamois thongs being exempt from tariffs.
Yeah.
It brings the satire of economic news right back into play.
It's another instance of the real world being warped by the logic of the thong explosion, a humorous commentary on the often unpredictable nature of financial markets and the impact of even seemingly trivial news.
Exactly. Then Canada announces plans to devote all manufacturing to chamois thongs.
Canada.
And celebrates by exceeding Leslie Nielsen and sticking his corpse in a thong.
Oh, come on. That's particularly morbid and disrespectful, even for this spread. It's a further descent into dark humor using a beloved comedic actor in a really macabre scenario.
It definitely pushes the boundaries there.
Really?
Then there's an auction.
An auction? For what?
Thongs worn by the Cheeky Girls and Lembit Opik.
Lembit Opik. Okay. Who bought them?
Apparently sold to Magda Zubanski.
Magda Zubanski. Sharon Strzelecki. It's a wonderfully specific and slightly bizarre celebrity interaction. Brings together a disparate group of minor celebrities in a very strange transaction.
It does. It's the kind of niche celebrity pairing that feels both random and somehow perfectly fitting within this whole context.
Then the BBC announces Thongs of Praise.
Thongs of Praise, hosted by who?
Rusty Lee. Rusty Lee. It's a truly inspired and ridiculous concept, mashing up religious broadcasting with the thread's central theme. The choice of Rusty Lee as host adds another layer of unexpected humor.
It's inspired casting.
Hmm.
But apparently the debut was disastrous,
oh,
leading to stock markets in thong freefall.
Ha! Huh. That's a fantastic escalation of the initial economic anxieties. The idea that a poorly received religious program about thongs could crash the global economy is wonderfully absurd.
It's a perfect example of how the thread takes a single bizarre premise and just runs with it to increasingly ridiculous conclusions.
Which leads to Wall Street bankers taking one last hefty sniff of their chamois thongs before jumping to their deaths.
Wow, that's a particularly dark and memorable image of financial ruin. A stark and disturbing image that takes the economic satire to its most extreme conclusion.
It is quite the image.
Hey.
But then, Saad comes to the rescue.
Saad, huh?
With thong-themed rewritten hits, apparently saving $7
billion. $7 billion, what? Doesn't matter. It's a moment of unexpected heroism amidst the chaos. The idea of Saad's smooth sounds and thong-related lyrics single-handedly saving the world is just truly inspired and hilarious.
It's a moment of pure, unexpected genius within the absurdity. Then the exploded thong factory itself becomes sentient.
What?
It becomes agog and coquettish after trolling claims are made against it.
Agog and coquettish. It's a bizarre personification of an inanimate object, a surreal and nonsensical reaction, further blurring the lines between reality and the online fantasy.
It really is. Chamois Thong LTD then ceases trading.
End of an era.
But there are rumors of it reopening as the Inner Smile Banter Factory.
Banter Factory. Okay, that signals a shift, doesn't it? Towards broader online culture. Suggests the self-awareness of the thread's own nature as a form of banter.
It does. It's almost like the thread is acknowledging its own absurdity and rebranding itself, which is followed by the Inner Smile Shanter Factory closed after overflowing with bullshit.
Shanter Factory. Okay. That's wonderfully blunt and self-deprecating, isn't it? A comment on the nature of online discussions. It's a moment of meta-humor, acknowledging the often nonsensical and overwhelming nature of online content.
It is. Then Natasha Kaplinsky,
the newsreader,
is seen touring the smoldering remains for interviews, and Charlie Dimmick is charged with arson.
Charlie Dimmick. Arson. It brings a sense of journalistic and legal reality back into the bizarre scenario. A return to the initial event, but now viewed through the lens of celebrity news and legal proceedings.
It adds that layer of mock seriousness to the utterly ridiculous. Then Parliament's recall.
Recalled, why?
After Baroness Desiree comments, thong rhymes with mum, June Sarpong, and the evening news.
That's the comment that recalls Parliament. It's a perfect example of political absurdity. A nonsensical statement somehow triggers a national political crisis, highlighting the often frivolous nature of political discourse.
It's so wonderfully random. Then Donald Trump proclaims.
Oh, let me guess.
America makes the best thongs.
Of course he does. Predictable and satirical. A classic Trumpian pronouncement applied to the utterly ridiculous context of chamois thongs.
It's a perfect encapsulation of his public persona applied to the absurd. Then King Charles III, his final act.
What happens?
He's sentenced to death by thong-garroting.
Thong-garroting. It brings the storyline to a gruesome and, fittingly absurd conclusion. A final dramatic punctuation mark to his involvement in the Thong saga.
It is a memorable exit. Then the Rate My Minge competition postponed.
Okay.
After contestant slips on unchamoised catwalk.
Right. That's crude and slightly uncomfortable. Brings another element of online culture into the mix. A reminder of some of the more base aspects of online content.
It does highlight the less savory corners of the internet sometimes. Then The White Lotus Season 4.
Season 4, where's it set?
At a chamois thong factory.
Of course it is. Who's in it?
With JoJo Siwa and the ghost of Cilla Black.
JoJo Siwa and Cilla Black's ghost. At a thong factory. It's a wonderfully bizarre and specific pop cultural mashup. A perfect example of how existing cultural touchstones are being blended and twisted within this fictional narrative.
It's such a specific and surreal combination. And finally,
go on.
The idea of war memorials across the country to be decorated with skimpy thongs to commemorate VE Day.
Oh, wow. That's deeply inappropriate and darkly humorous. A final shocking image that really pushes the boundaries, even within this context of utter absurdity.
It does. It's a provocative and deliberately transgressive image that leaves a lasting impression. So, I mean, reflecting on this incredible journey through the Moopy Forum, what key observations can we make about this whole online phenomenon?
Well, one of the most striking things for me is just how rapidly and completely the initial already bizarre premise was just embraced. And then wildly escalated. It started with an explosion, right? And within days, we had international conspiracies, celebrity deaths, even changes in government policy, all somehow tied back to this fictional thong factory disaster.
Exactly. And it's fascinating how these narratives became so interconnected. It wasn't just like a series of random jokes.
Yeah.
There were running gags, callbacks, a real sense of a shared, evolving story being built collectively by the users. You see that in the return of certain characters or the ongoing jokes about specific events.
And the way they blended real and fictional elements was just seamless, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Real celebrities, real news events, even real political figures were just woven into this completely made-up disaster, which definitely added to the surreal and satirical feel. It makes you wonder why those particular figures were chosen so often.
Yeah, I think it seems like they were often chosen because their public personas or maybe recent news events involving them provided fertile ground for parody within the context of the exploding thong factory.
Right, the humor comes from the juxtaposition.
Exactly, the unexpected juxtaposition of their established image with the utter ridiculousness of the scenario, and you just can't ignore the pervasive dark humor throughout the whole thread.
Absolutely not. There was this consistent willingness to engage with the macabre, the absurd, and slightly inappropriate, purely for comedic effect. It definitely speaks to a specific type of online sensibility, I think.
And it's clearly a community with its own internal language and references, right?
Definitely.
There are callbacks, running jokes, a shared understanding of what's considered funny or outrageous within that space. That shared context is crucial to how the humor lands and evolves.
So in the end, what does this deep dive into a fictional chamois thong factory explosion really tell us about, you know, online culture?
Well, I think this seemingly nonsensical forum thread actually offers a surprisingly insightful glimpse into the dynamics of online communities and the nature of internet humor.
How so?
It demonstrates how a single absurd premise can act as a catalyst for collective creativity. It allows users to explore boundaries, satirize real-world events and figures, and build the shared sense of the ridiculous. It highlights the speed and often the chaotic nature of online narrative building, that tendency towards hyperbole and exaggeration, and the powerful role that shared jokes and internal references play in creating a sense of belonging within these online spaces.
It really does make you think about how we process and react to information online, even when it's clearly fictional, doesn't it?
Absolutely.
What other seemingly absurd events might be happening right now in some corner of the internet, sparking similar imaginative and darkly comic discussions? It definitely gives you a new appreciation for the weird and wonderful world of online communities.
It certainly does.
Thanks for taking this very unique deep dive with us today.